Café Milano is a caricature of the high-powered Washington eatery. Overpriced food, obsequious staff, an expensive wine list, and a clientele comprising a who's who of Washington and international power brokers. And yet here we were, discussing what was arguably Russia's boldest and most frightening overseas operation since the Cold War. My source told me Western intelligence was now highly confident that Vladimir Putin himself had ordered and directed the poisoning of the former KGB agent Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia in Salisbury, England, earlier that spring. The attempted murder with the powerful Russian-made nerve agent Novichok had shocked the United Kingdom and Europe. The use of Novichok was particularly alarming. Many times more deadly than even the most powerful nerve agent ever in the U.S. arsenal, VX, which has been banned for decades, Novichok kills by disrupting nerve signals throughout the body, causing repeated and uncontrollable muscle contractions. Victims are left convulsing in pain, vomiting, and foaming at the mouth, which is how witnesses found the Skripals that day on a park bench in Salisbury. In the months following the attack, every European official I met described it in frightening terms. By carrying out a potentially deadly operation on the soil of a NATO ally, they argued, Russia had set a new, frightening standard for its malign activities abroad. U.S. and Western intelligence agencies had very quickly surmised that such an operation could not have happened without the knowledge of senior Russian leaders, and in the top-heavy Kremlin, Putin was the only senior leader who mattered. However, a direct order from the Russian president to assassinate someone on British soil would elevate the stakes, and my source told me that Western intelligence agencies had now concluded it was highly likely Putin had done just that. With the Skripal operation, Putin appeared to have sent two bold messages to the British in the West that he saw no territorial limits to Russia's violent actions abroad, and to Russian dissidents and other critics that they were not safe anywhere in the world. My contact leaned in to share one more disturbing detail. British investigators had now determined that the two Russian military intelligence agents who had carried out the operation had brought enough Novichok into Britain to kill thousands. Thousands? I asked to be certain. Yes, thousands, he repeated. Western intelligence did not believe the Russian hit team intended to kill thousands of its citizens. However, the gall of transporting an extremely dangerous substance in such an immense quantity into the United Kingdom stunned Western leaders. Moving even a small amount of Novichok carried enormous risks to anyone who came into contact with it. That had been made clear when two Salisbury residents unconnected to the Skripals, Charlie Rowley and Don Sturgis, came across a vial of the substance innocently disguised as a bottle of Nina Ritchie perfume, apparently discarded by the Skripals' attempted assassins. After spraying the substance on her wrist, believing it was perfume, Sturgis fell ill within minutes and died days later. Rowley only narrowly survived. Remarkably, Skripal and his daughter survived as well, but only after weeks in the hospital. Smuggling immense quantities of Novichok into the United Kingdom obviously increased the risk of more casualties. Moscow seemed to be demonstrating how little it cared, and crucially, how little it feared Britain's and the West's response. This was a massive chemical weapons attack inside the West by Russia. It was unprecedented. Or was it? As shocking as the Skripal poisoning was proving, each detail sounded remarkably familiar to me. 12 years earlier, while based in London as senior foreign correspondent for ABC News, I had covered the assassination of the Russian dissident Alexander Litvinenko. In a plot seemingly stolen from the pages of a John le Carré novel, two Russian agents had poisoned Litvinenko with radioactive polonium-210 injected into his cup of tea. Just a speck of the substance was powerful enough to kill several people, and its radioactivity is so strong that British investigators were later able to trace its entire path into and around Britain, from seats 26